Before we begin, just a quick note. If this conversation about alcohol, identity, and desire resonates, my new book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is out now. And if you want to go deeper, slowly, thoughtfully, and in ways that genuinely nourish you, I've opened the Thirsty For More Mindset Lab on Substack. You'll find links to both in the show notes. Right. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink, the podcast for anyone questioning their relationship with alcohol or simply wondering what more life might hold. I'm Anna Donaghy, alcohol mindset coach, author, and former strategist, and each episode is going to blend lived experience, psychological insight, and powerful tools to help you understand your habits and gently rethink your drinking in a way that throws open oodles of possibilities. So whether you're trying to quit, cut down, or you're just plain curious, then you are in the right place. Let's rethink things together and explore what you're really thirsty for. Hello, hello, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink. I'm recording this on January the 3rd. So if you're listening to this on the day it drops, this is my third little episode to help you get momentum in the new year, behind your rethinking, behind your sober curiosity. Now, yes, January the 3rd, the moment where the novelty is probably wearing off, the real world has returned, and most people using January to rethink their drinking kind of go, oh, right, this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I want to give you something that genuinely helps, not pressure again. Not perfection, not a blueprint that you'll abandon by Friday because it depends on willpower. Just five simple, practical ideas that will make the weeks ahead feel so much lighter. Ideas you can actually use and ideas that support you rather than stress you. So let's get straight into it, okay? Idea number one. Instead of allowing yourself to be hooked on any thoughts that revolve around not being allowed to drink, which, let's face it, feel negative, deeply, deeply demotivating, and likely to cause an immediate internal tantrum, if not a full-on rebellion. Ask instead, is my life good enough right now? We tend to get stuck in moral language, right? We just do. I should, I shouldn't, I'm being good, I'm being bad. But we're not in a classroom here, people. You're not being graded. The only question that matters is my life good enough for me right now? Or do I need something to change? Because that instantly shifts the whole tone of this. It invites honesty instead of judgment. It widens possibility rather than tightening the rules. It's the gentlest anchor that you can use this month. And here's the powerful thing about it. Questions like that don't push you. They pull you. They create a space of forward movement, a quiet internal motivation, because they connect you to something meaningful and something you actually want, not something you're trying to avoid. So most people assume that change happens through discipline or being good. But the truth is, the strongest form of motivation comes from being pulled towards a life that feels better, not from trying to escape a life that feels wrong. When you ask, is my life good enough for me right now, you are turning into desire rather than fear. And you're connecting with the part of you that wants more energy, more peace, more clarity, more self-respect, the part that knows you're capable of feeling better than this. And when you pay attention to that, that part that's longing for something, the whole journey becomes less about resisting alcohol and more about moving towards a life that actually feels like yours, a life that doesn't require numbing or escape. That's where the strength is. Not in white knuckling through nights out, not in policing yourself, but in being gently, steadily pulled forward by the version of you who wants more. And that pull, even if it's faint at first, is far, far stronger than willpower. Willpower fades, but desire grows. Desire sustains. Desire takes you somewhere. And when you follow that pull, this whole month, the weeks ahead, become less about not drinking and more about discovering what you're really thirsty for. Idea number two, accept that wobbles are the process, not a sign of failure, not a test, not evidence that you can't do this, just part of change. I've used the bike riding analogy, the learning to ride a bike analogy before, but you'd never watch a child wobble on their bike and say, well, clearly cycling isn't for you. The wobble's how balance is built. Same here. Same here. If you wobble, it means you're learning something. It means your awareness is switching on. Wobbles are not the problem. I tend to think of them as the curriculum. And I'll go even further, actually. Wobbles are inevitable. They're not a sign that something's gone wrong, they're a sign that something is changing. And like that child learning to ride a bike, you will wobble. You will tip. You might even fall off completely. That's not failure. That's physics. That's reality. That's life. And honestly, shit happens. It really does. You don't learn how to steer and balance or correct your posture by staying perfectly upright. You learn by losing your center of gravity and finding it again. It's what you do next that matters. The moment after the wobble, that is the defining moment. A child doesn't stand up and brush off the dirt and say, well, that's it. I guess I'm just not a cyclist. And they get back on, slightly more aware than before. And that's you. Every time you wobble, you're gathering information. You're learning where your edges are, what your patterns look like, and what triggers you, what supports you, and how your body and brain respond. A wobble teaches you something still invisible when everything is going well. It gives you insight and clarity. And clarity is gold in this process, by the way. Gold. So when you wobble, not if, but when, don't waste that moment by turning against yourself. Don't make it a moral event. Just turn it into a slip, a wobble, not a character verdict. Treat it like that child on a bike. Okay, that happened. What did I learn? What can I adjust? Let's try again. That's resilience. That's growth. And that is how you build a life that you don't want to escape from. One wobble at a time. Idea number three, plan the evenings lightly. Now, evenings are the danger zone for most people, not because we're weak, keep saying that, but because your nervous system's overloaded. Come the evening, it's overstimulated, it's tired, it's craving transition. So here's a very human idea. Decide in advance what your evening needs, not a full schedule, not a color-coded spreadsheet. Although I've got to say, I do love a color-coded spreadsheet. Just a few tiny things that help. Infinitely doable things. We don't want to get caught up in spirals of shoulds and failed commitments of our own making. So little doable things. And examples might be a warm drink, stepping outside for 3 minutes, a shower, wearing something really soft and comfortable. Having a really nice, nourishing snack. Curling up on a chair to call a friend. Watching something comforting on the telly. Going to bed early. Reading a book. Or simply doing a sort of 5-minute tidy to reset the space around you. The aim here is not to fill the time. It's to support yourself through the changeover moment when alcohol used to do the heavy lifting. Notice that these things are not just nourishing for the soul. A treat, connection, comfort, warmth. They scream safety. They help your nervous system relax. Think of them as emotional scaffolding. And before you sort of sit there and think, oh my God, what the fuck difference is there? Sort of stepping outside for 3 minutes going to make if I'm craving a drink? Try it. Try it before you knock it, okay? Because I'm telling you, for nothing, a warm drink, a shower, these things change your mental state. And they're not just distractions. They actually help, as I say, your nervous system calm down, and they signal safety. And I cannot express too greatly how important it is during a period of change, during a period of new habit formation, that you feel safe. Okay? This is why we say small little things create safety, big sweeping gestures create fear. We are talking nervous system management. Whilst we're talking about nervous system management, idea number four is what I tend to think of as the ultimate tool to manage your nervous system. And it is therefore brilliant to use as a reset when needs arise, when you feel an urge to drink. You can use it as a fire break between work and evening. It is intentional breathing, or breath work as it's commonly known. It is one of the most effective ways to regulate emotions because it directly affects your nervous system. When you drink to relax, you're relying on alcohol to artificially slow your heart rate and calm your mind, but your breath has this power. It just needs to be activated. It works by stimulating the vagus nerve, which shifts your body out of the fight or flight response and into a calm, relaxed state. Deep breathing lowers cortisol, the stress hormone, and reduces anxiety in real time. It balances oxygen and carbon dioxide levels in the blood, and it prevents the kind of lightheadedness and tension often linked with stress and panic. It is bloody brilliant. And studies show that just 2 minutes of deep breathing can significantly lower blood pressure and heart rate, mimicking the effects that people seek from alcohol. So, a simple breathwork exercise is box breathing. When you inhale deeply through your nose for a count of four, you hold your breath for a count of four. You exhale slowly through your mouth this time for a count of four. And you hold it again for a count of four. See what I'm doing there? Box breathing. Four, 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 four. Inhale deeply through the nose. Count for four. Hold your breath for a count of four. Exhale slowly through your mouth this time for a count of four. Hold again for a count of four. Repeating that for 2 to 3 minutes is practically guaranteed to make you feel calmer. It is so effective. It is insane. And I think people doubt how something so simple can be so effective, but it is. And it's free, by the way. Alcohol is not. And it is instant. And alcohol is convenient, yes, but not instant as such. So, nervous system management, best tool, intentional breathing. And finally, idea number five, celebrate gains, not just abstinence. When you focus only on not drinking, you miss all the tiny wins that make the exercise so bloody worthwhile. Every early night, every clearer morning, every calmer moment, every, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought, moment. Every urge that you noticed instead of obeyed, every time you chose something kinder. These are real gains, not silly small ones. And here's the truth that nobody tells you, right? Most people don't stay motivated because they remove alcohol. They stay motivated because they start liking their life more without it. So pay attention to what's getting better. That's what will pull you forward. Not willpower, not discipline, desire. Desire for the version of you who is steadier, clearer, softer, more awake. Now, if you want ongoing support and more tools that take the pressure off and keep the momentum going, then my alcohol experiment is there for you. But truly, even those five ideas will take you a long, long way. If you want to have a look at the alcohol experiment, it's on my website. It's just £99 for listeners of this podcast. It's a it's a sales page where you can pop in the code POD99 and it's yours for £99 and you keep it forever. But listen, tonight, a tiny task. Just pick one of these ideas, just one, and let it shape your 6 p.m. A plan that is small is still a plan. A shift that is gentle is still a shift. And that's more than enough for day 3. So I'm going to leave you with a little what if thought. What if this month isn't about proving anything, but about becoming something you actually feel good being? Now, you are doing brilliantly. You're doing beautifully. You've got this. And I've got you. A whole raft of episodes coming your way to support you going forward. So I will be back in the normal cadence of next week with another episode of the Big Drink Rethink. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. It really helps other people find the show. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find all of my resources and become part of the Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebigdrinkrethink.com.